We're talking with Paul Zierex, and he's the Secretary of the State Election Board here in Oklahoma. And also, Senator Julie Daniels is with us. Julie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tom. I want to thank Bartlesville Radio for having Secretary Zierex here to talk about our election system. I've gotten lots of communications from constituents wondering about the security and the fraud prevention efforts and how honest our system is. And Secretary Zierex has been doing this now for almost a decade, and he's excellent. And so let's just hear from the expert himself and you guys just go for it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. First of all, Paul, tell us exactly what it is your position is responsible for. I can pretty much guess, but just for clarity.
Yeah, so if you actually have to go back to 1911 to find out how this position came about, it's a dual role. It's the Secretary of the State Senate and the Secretary of the State Election Board. So I'm actually an officer of the legislature, not a member, but an officer of the legislature elected by the legislature. And in 1911, the state legislature established a law that the Secretary of the Senate also serves as the Secretary of the State Election Board. And as Secretary of the State Election Board, I'm the chief election official in the state of Oklahoma. I have general supervisory authority over the 77 county election boards, and I'm generally responsible for ensuring that state and federal election laws are followed in the state of Oklahoma.
Well, let's start here at the beginning. We've got the mechanics of it all. We know how it's legally set up now, but how do we go from, hey, let's have an election, to an election has been held, to an election has been processed and certified?
Well, most regular elections are established by statute, and, you know, for example, state, federal, county elections, those dates are established by the legislature in our state statutes, and there are filing periods for those, and once it's determined which candidates are qualified to be on the ballot, then we go through each process. There's a primary, a runoff primary, and then a general election. And once those elections are held, then then of course the elections are certified. And in Oklahoma, we do that pretty quickly. Our system is really designed to wrap up elections quickly. Our absentee ballots are due on election day. If you notice, we were finished with our count statewide in every county on election night. All of the ballots that were cast on election day, or by mail absentee, or by in-person absentee, which is also known as early voting, were tabulated and recorded. The only thing that was not included in those final totals were a few thousand provisional ballots, and those are ballots that are cast either on election day or during in-person absentee voting, where there's some question about a voter's qualifications, such as they're not on the precinct registry, or maybe they claim to be a different party than they're requesting a ballot for. And then the county election board secretary investigates those claims, and if it's an error on the part of the state election board or the county election board, then, which is rare, but if it is, then those end up being counted. Provisional ballots are also used to prove identity for people who don't provide identity at the polls. You can sign an affidavit, cast a provisional ballot, and the majority of provisional ballots that end up getting counted are for identity purposes.
Now, you've laid it out so easily here, Mr. Secretary. How come other states can't manage to do it like this and make it an easy night of it all?
Well, it really goes to the United States Constitution, which provides that state legislatures are responsible for determining the time, manner, and place of conducting federal elections. And our state constitution also grants that authority for every election to determine the time and manner of conducting elections in our state. And so that's a constitutional responsibility, both federally and in the state of Oklahoma, for the state legislature. So, and of course, that's across the country, the same for every state legislature. So some states do it differently than we do. I'm not going to criticize any other state in their process, but I tell you what, the fact that we have in Oklahoma our votes counted on election night, on the Friday after the election, the county election board certify their results, and then for state and federal offices and state questions, 1 week after the election, the state election board meets to certify election results, and then then our state is done. I mean, we had this election wrapped up 1 week later, and I really think that that brings, you know, certainty to the elections, because when you know on election night that the count is pretty much final, you know, in a close race there might be a few provisional ballots out there that are still in question, but for the most part in Oklahoma, you know who's won that election on election night. That just brings, in my opinion, a great deal of confidence and certainty to our system, and you couple that with the fact that we have a paper-based system. Yes, we use electronic scanners, and in Oklahoma, our precinct-based scanners are manufactured by a company called Hart InterCivic in Texas. They're the ones that won the bid when we went out to bid almost 10 years ago, and they have proven to be very accurate. But we still have a paper ballot that's hand-marked by the voter, and it's counted by a very accurate precinct ballot scanner, and I'm sure both of you recall back during the runoff, there was actually a state senator race in southeast Oklahoma that involved five counties and 81 precincts, and I think the margin of that election was about 20 votes, and a recount was done across those five counties at the request of the losing candidate, and it came out right on the money. I mean, exactly the same in every single one of the 81 precincts, and that's just a testament to how accurate the voting system is.
Paul, Secretary Zirak, would you please explain a little bit about the security of the machines, the chain of possession? Mm-hmm. How does a county election board receive their ballot? Where are they counted? How do they get back to the state? The mechanics, because people are concerned that even with a secure system, we might be subject to fraud from outside.
Well, Oklahoma, and this is maybe different than the way some jurisdictions do it, we have a statewide voting system. And, you know, if you go to our neighbors to the south down in Texas, you know, every county is allowed to pick their own voting system and pick their own vendors. In Oklahoma, by law, we have a statewide voting system. So our system is selected by the state election board. It is owned by the state election board. It is operated by the state election board and is housed at each county election board. But when you're talking about, producing ballots, all of the programming that goes into creating ballots and the programming voting devices, that's done by my staff here in Oklahoma City at the county election board. We don't farm that out. And then they produce ballot files that create the actual ballots that get printed, and then we're required by law to go out to print those, and so there are a couple of authorized printers that print our ballots, and then those are sealed up, the blank ballots, and they're delivered to each county election board prior to an election, and there's very strict chain of custody for the ballots. From the time that they are, from the time they go to the printer to the time that they're counted and then secured after the election, and our county election boards do a great job of adhering to that. But in terms of there being outside forces, for example, that are involved in that, it's not. It's a process that's entirely contained within our state and within our election system.
So just to confirm, we don't have information stored on a server external to our system, and our ballots are counted internally. We're not relying on someone who could be a security risk to actually count our votes.
Yeah, I mean, we take the need to protect the security and integrity of our elections very seriously in Oklahoma, and that's whether it's county election officials, your state election officials, the state legislature has mandated much of this in the statutes, and if you look at our voting system, our voting devices are never connected to the internet. The voting software, the computers that are used to program those voting devices, the computers that are used to tabulate results, they aren't connected directly to the internet, and our voting system has numerous built-in safeguards. I mean, for example, if a part of the system is tampered with, or if say ballots were tampered with, or a voting device was tampered with, it's actually designed to break at the point where you say the voting device detects that the ballot is produced by a different database than was used to program it. It won't even accept those ballots. And even though, as I mentioned, we have a uniform statewide voting system, all of our components and applications are contained within their own silo. Each county is contained within its own silo. That way, if there is an incident in one county, it's not going to spread to other counties. We work very closely with Oklahoma Cyber Command, which is which, if you're not familiar with it, they provide cybersecurity for all state agencies, and we work with them very closely to make sure we are using the latest and best practices for cybersecurity for our voting system. But there are multiple layers of protection, and I have the utmost confidence, that the election we just conducted was not only accurate but was also safe and secure.
Oh, boy. I tell you what, that's going to make a lot of people breathe easier. I was very confident in it in the beginning, but now this reaffirmation of it all is really good to have. One question sticks out with me. It's the absentee ballot. How do we go about that? I know that there were a lot of questions leading up into the general election this fall, how absentee ballots were going to be conducted.
Right. Well, some states use what's known as back-end verification of absentee ballots, of the identity of the voter. There are actually, I think 7 or 8 states that don't have any verification whatsoever. They just accept a signature from whoever signs the affidavit that accompanies the absentee ballot, and they go with it. The majority of states do a signature verification, which takes a really long time to be able to go back and compare that to voter registration. The way we do it in Oklahoma, for example, for standard absentee ballots, we have a front-end verification instead of doing it after the fact, and that's one of the reasons that we're able to get votes counted so quickly. But when you're casting a standard absentee ballot, it's required to be notarized. And what is notarization? That means that the voter is appearing before a notary public who verifies the identity of that voter and then actually attests on the affidavit that the person who has signed the affidavit is the person to whom that ballot was issued. And that's a very important security process. We have worked with banks and credit unions and libraries and others around the state to make sure that they're offering notary services to everyone who asks. Oklahoma notaries can't charge you to notarize your absentee ballot, but they're not required to do so. So when banks and credit unions stepped up earlier this year and said we'll notarize any absentee ballot, a lot of them were doing it through their drive-thrus, and they were doing it for non-customers. That was a big help. Now, because of COVID-19, the state legislature temporarily authorized the inclusion of a photocopy of your ID, the same kind of ID that you would show if you're voting in person, in lieu of the notarization. There were many absentee voters who took advantage of that, but again, you're talking about a copy of that person's ID that can be compared to the affidavit to make sure it's the same person. Ultimately, it's the legislature's decision whether they would continue with that process, but that was only temporary during 2020 due to COVID-19. But even that is a secure process, in my opinion.
Well, I want to thank you very much for giving us all this information. Senator Daniels, anything you'd like to add?
Well, those temporary measures on absentee ballots, would I be incorrect in saying that liberalizing them to that extent could potentially have some fraud problems built in with people being able to just include a copy of their ID themselves without that notary?
Well, let me put it this way. I think notarization is the most secure way to do it. There have been a few instances of even notaries public who have been convicted in Oklahoma of committing fraud. So there's no system that's foolproof. I think that including a copy of your identification, that's definitely a step above signature verification, because most you go around the country in places that do that, local election officials typically are not signature experts, and so they're relying on on, you know, computers to do it for them. And there's, you know, I think there's some varying degree of accuracy there. So, you know, I think when you look at the fact we had COVID-19 and that was unprecedented, I think that the ID option, the copy of the ID was a good measure to help make sure voters had the opportunity to do it. I think it's more secure than some of the lesser standards, but it definitely is not as secure as notarization.
Very good. I mean, it's nice to know we have that layer of protection, and that what we had with the driver's license copy was temporary. And I guess it goes back to the House and Senate here after this, doesn't it?
Well, yes, that's right, because that was only for this election cycle,
mm-hmm.
And was in response to a lawsuit filed in May by the League of Women Voters, where our state Supreme Court decided that because of COVID, we wouldn't have those requirements mm-hmm. in place, which is a problem in places like Pennsylvania, where the legislature passed the laws and then the courts chose to ignore them. Mm-hmm. And so we had that issue, but we corrected it in the legislature with these accommodations mm-hmm. that we made for this election cycle.
Yeah, and Senator Daniels is right. You know, what the state Supreme Court did is they took an unrelated statute in a different section of law that was related to court proceedings in civil cases that had to do with affidavits in those specific kinds of cases. And they said, well, there's not an exception for absentee voting here, so we're going to apply this particular statute to elections as well. And thankfully, the legislature acted very quickly and did two things. One, they said, well, this is not applicable. It was never the intent that this civil procedure be applicable to absentee ballot affidavits. And then, because of the pandemic, the legislature made some accommodations, one of them being the copy of the ID. I think the legislature made the right decision for 2020, and ultimately, it's up to the legislature to decide long-term whether that is secure enough. As I said, copies of IDs are definitely more secure than some of the other methods of verification, but it's not as secure as notarization.
Well, and just to follow up on the legal challenges, even with those changes, Oklahoma was then challenged in federal court, but thankfully for us, the Democrat Party and the National Democrat Congressional Committee were the ones who brought that lawsuit. The federal judge tossed out all their arguments and said that it's the authority of the legislature, it's the responsibility of the legislature to pass election laws, and that these were reasonable. And so we were gratified that we were able to hold an election under the election laws we had, because it would have been quite a scramble to do something different at that late date.
Yeah, and in that federal lawsuit, there was an effort to not just say that there couldn't be any verification of the identity of absentee voters, but they were also asking the judge to throw out Oklahoma's chain of custody and laws related to absentee ballot harvesting. And Oklahoma has really good absentee verification, as we've talked about, but we've also got that chain of custody, meaning only a voter can request his or her own absentee ballot, only a voter can return his or her own absentee ballot, and you're not allowed to go around and collect other people's absentee ballots and turn them in for them. There was a huge scandal in North Carolina in 2018 in a congressional race that actually had to be redone, because there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of absentee ballots that got harvested in that case by a Republican consultant that caused doubt on the outcome of that election, because there were many that appeared to be tampered with in a number that exceeded the margin of victory in that race. And so the election got tossed out and they had to redo it. And that's something that we have protections against here in Oklahoma. And the legislature really came in last spring at the end of the legislative session and enhanced our chain of custody laws and really enhanced our prohibitions on absentee ballot harvesting. And that's another thing that really makes the ballot security critical here in Oklahoma, and it makes it a very good thing.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you going into depth with us today and explaining this thoroughly. We're going to make a podcast out of this so that people can listen to it at their leisure, and especially if they have some time to really absorb it. Plus, we're going to make some news stories out of this as well, because this is information people need. There seems to be a lot of confusion out there as to the election nationally, and some folks are getting a little confused about how we do things in Oklahoma, and it just seems like it's a never-ending thing that we have to do. No, that didn't happen here. That happened in another state.
Right.
And I want to thank you personally for running such a tight, clean shop.
Well, I can tell you, I cannot be prouder of my staff here at the State Election Board, of the County Election Board secretaries and their staffs, the precinct officials, and just other people who helped with this election. Because I'll tell you, running three major statewide elections during a pandemic like this is unprecedented, and you literally had people willing to put their lives on the line, with COVID-19 out there, to make sure that Oklahomans were able to exercise their right to vote. And I'm just so proud of the people that that worked hard and made that happen. And it's probably the toughest election we've ever had to do. And by the way, you throw in at the general election, not only did we have a pandemic, but it was a week after a major ice storm, an unprecedented October ice storm, clobbered half the state, knocked out power, caused all kinds of issues around the state. And so the fact we were able to pull that together, couldn't be prouder of the election officials out there at the local and state level that made that happen.